Good morning, everybody. The Mary Griffith Show is underway. And you know, one of the great things about being Mary Griffith is I get to have people on my show that are my choice. And sometimes things just fall into my lap. And Ted Nieman is running for elected office. Now, don't get too excited and say, well, I'm going to listen carefully because I want to know if I can vote for him. You can't. Only fellow lawyers can vote for Ted, but he's here representing us in many ways because, whether you're aware of it or not, there is a shortage of lawyers and attorneys in downstate Illinois and in west central Illinois in particular. And Ted is a member of one of the most prestigious law firms in Quincy, Schmiedes Camp Robertson New and Mitchell. And he's devoted 40 years of his life to a practice there that, you know, has a wide variety of things, real estate and corporations and all kinds of stuff. But now it's like a way for you to publicly serve your fellow lawyers. But more than that, the people of our community who may need an attorney and either can't afford one or can't find one because there just aren't enough of you. So welcome to the Mary Griffith Show, Ted Nieman. Let's start by introducing yourself. You're a Quincy boy.
That's right, Mary. I was bred and born here. I've been with my law firm, in the same law firm, Schmiedes Camp Robertson, for over 40 years. So after school, you and I both share the fact that we went to University of Illinois in Champaign, graduated from there. I went on to DePaul Law School in Chicago, got a taste of Chicago, practicing clerking up there, clerking for a judge, a few law firms, and decided to come back to Quincy to practice with Schmiedes Camp Robertson. And I've been with that firm since fall of 1983. So that is one of the factors that makes me uniquely situated for this particular position, if I may. So the Illinois State Bar Association is the premier bar association for the state of Illinois. It is a trade association for lawyers. I've been involved for 40 years. I recently was elected to the assembly, which is similar to the legislative branch of the Illinois state legislative branch, with representatives and so forth. I've also been involved in a particular committee of lawyers for over 25 years that focus just on real estate issues. They have all sorts of subcommittees that service the various areas in which attorneys practice, most of them Chicago attorneys, some downstate. And so I've been up to Chicago a lot for these meetings and chaired this group a couple of times, everything from lobbying for legislation to putting on seminars to speaking in seminars. I'm speaking at another seminar in 2 weeks in Chicago on a real estate-based topic. But so what I'm saying is, my district, my voting district, all Illinois attorneys that are members of the ISBA in 20 counties in Illinois, all downstate. So I'm thinking about downstate issues for rural practicing attorneys, including Quincy, Sangamon County, as far south as Carlinville, as far north as Galesburg. But what makes me uniquely situated for this job is that this organization is largely controlled by Chicago attorneys. So I will bring to the table my concerns for downstate attorneys, but I have the contacts with the Chicago attorneys. So I can put that together because of my longstanding involvement in this organization. I think I can be uniquely effective in this job.
Yeah, wear your DePaul tie, and then all the Chicago attorneys will love you. But it's so interesting that you even want to do this. So let's get down to the base of this, because yes, there is some prestige, I'm sure, by saying, well, I've been elected by my peers to this group, but does it pay anything?
They'll pay some expenses.
Some expenses, but you're not getting paid to do this.
Oh, no.
Oh, so what is in it for Ted Nieman? Because you're really not doing this to advance your agenda, per se. You're doing it for others. And that's very, you know, not self-serving. That's very humanitarian and philanthropic of you to even want to have this endeavor, because you are going to have to go out and try to convince your peers in this district, this judicial district, to vote for you. And, you know, you can't be mean, because the other people that are running against you are also prominent attorneys.
Right.
But you want to bring Adams right. County and Quincy, and really, I mean, Quincy's not even a small town. What would you do if you lived in, is there even an attorney in Liberty, Illinois? Is there even an attorney? I know there's one in Mount Sterling, or a couple.
Right.
But, I mean, there's a lot of places where, if right. you want to get represented, you can't even go right. to get representation locally.
Well, the ISBA has put out figures in, I believe it's 13 counties in Illinois, have five or fewer attorneys, right? And so my desire to do this is simply based on my desire to give back to the legal profession and to help downstate lawyers. I get something out of that. I get fulfillment out of helping people, just like you do. What I plan to do is to represent the entire state on the Board of Governors, the governing body for the Illinois State Bar Association, but in particular, tune into issues that are important to downstate lawyers, because we have too few downstate lawyers participating in this organization, and too many times the downstate lawyers, I wouldn't say are ignored, but we need to ramp it up. We need to focus more on downstate problems. For instance, you hit the nail on the head. The biggest problem for downstate lawyers, even with my own firm, is hiring and retaining lawyers. Most lawyers or their spouses want to go to Chicago, they want to go to St. Louis, they want to go to Kansas City. And we've had lawyers that are in our firm and decide that they still want to go back to the city. God knows why. I know
because you tried that yourself and decided, no, I think my hometown's better for me.
For sure, the quality of life, Quincy, Illinois is great. Adams County is great. Central Illinois is great. And so one of the problems that you hit on here, I mean, it's deemed to be a legal desert. I call it an attorney desert. You probably are more familiar with the term connected with the food desert, right? So the areas, many of the towns, have very few attorneys, and not only does that affect the attorneys, the ISB members' ability to operate or to retire, or when they pass on, they no longer have their firm, their practice, right? But that also affects the ability of people's access, as you hit on earlier, access to attorneys, access to the legal process. And so there's a real need, both from the attorney side of things, the members who will be voting for me, but also people like yourself that may need an attorney if they're going to buy or sell a house, or if they're going to set up a business, or if they have a legal problem. You know, all those things, there's a definite need for attorneys. What was it? Shakespeare said, I forget what play it was in, the first thing we're going to do is kill all the attorneys. And it wasn't because it's the butt of a joke. It's because Shakespeare in that play recognized that attorneys make a lot of things happen, solve a lot of problems. We're basically problem solvers. So what I hope to do in this position is to not only address the legal desert problem, but also to provide more. We provide seminars, newsletters to attorneys. I'm giving a seminar in 2 weeks in Chicago on a real estate-based topic, I think I mentioned. So we do this continuously. We have bar journals. We also have put out newsletters. We also have networking possibilities. We have possibilities where we can mentor young lawyers. I attended a position, an event in Chicago just recently with young lawyers and lawyers in law school, all looking for jobs, looking for help. And we had this roundtable situation. My daughter Genevieve set it up. She's very active in the Bar Association. And I was trying to convince attorneys and young law students, look at downstate firms. Because people are looking to teach you, looking to pass on their practices. Don't just think Chicago. There are like 90,000 or more attorneys in Illinois, and about 90-95% of them are in Chicago, as you might guess. People need to think outside the box and think downstate. One thing that I know that you did a story on a while back was the ISBA's Rural Practice Initiative, and we talked about that briefly when I walked in. I think that would be your viewers would be interested, but one of the things our association is doing is this Rural Practice Initiative, and they've got two programs. One is called Rural Practice Summer Fellows Program, and one is called Rural Practice Associate Fellows Program. One of them tries to motivate law students to clerk while they're in law school, downstate firms, and will grant them $5,000 as an incentive. And so there's all sorts of mentoring, and you can actually live it and decide whether a downstate practice is for you. There's also a comparable program for young lawyers. That's called the Rural Practice Associate Fellows Program, and that provides a financial incentive of $5,000 on the head end if a young lawyer or lawyer graduating from law school joins a downstate firm, and then if that person stays with that job for a year, another $5,000. So the ISBA is trying to address this legal desert problem, but I think we need to do more. And I think we can ramp that up. I also think that we ought to be doing more networking opportunities where we link law students and young lawyers to downstate firms. This is a real problem. You know, it's I see people go to internet forums, you know, and people, you know, LegalZoom and all this sort of thing. You're paying the attorney for the attorney's brain. And so it's not a matter of just finding a form on the internet and plugging it in, hoping for the best. Bad idea. You often get unintended results doing that. So lawyers are problem solvers, professional problem solvers. You wouldn't try to pull your own tooth. You go to a dentist, right? You wouldn't try to do your own brain surgery, right? Same sort of thing. I wouldn't try to do your job. I would call you, right? And so there's a definite need. Lawyers are professional problem solvers, and we need to make sure that we continue to develop the downstate practices so that everyone has access to legal services.
My guest today is Ted Neiman. He is running for the governing board for the Illinois State Bar Association, the Area 6 Board of Governors. The only people who can vote for him are his fellow attorneys, but he's trying to change the way things are in the Illinois State Bar Association. If 95% of the attorneys are from Chicago, that's where the squeaky wheel gets heard. There hasn't been a representative from Adams County in over 50 years. So the whole time that Ted Neiman has been in law practice here, there has never been somebody from this community to represent these needs on that state board. He wants to change that. We're going to take a break. When we come back, our conversation continues. He's not charging me by the hour, so I'm going to ask him if he can stay a little bit longer since I'm getting this pro bono. 928. It is 9:31. My guest today is Ted Neiman. He is running for the Illinois State Bar Association Board of Governors. If many of you out there listening go, huh, I've never even heard of that. I've never had a candidate on. Well, that's because we haven't had anybody elected from Adams County in over 50 years. So this may be the first time anyone's ever been interviewed on WTAG about this topic. Ted, the average person cannot vote for you, but you are making a plea to your fellow, you know, attorneys to please vote for you so that our rural areas can get more representation. So how can those who are listening, who are in the legal profession, certified with the bar and have all the credentials, how can they vote for you?
Well, if they've not received an email from the Illinois State Bar Association, they can call the Illinois State Bar Association in Springfield or the Illinois State Bar Association in Chicago. You can get a paper ballot, or you can vote online through their website, and you just have to plug in your Illinois State Bar Association membership number. It's easy. Even I can do it, and I did it. And so I've got some competition, two other fine attorneys over in Sangamon County, but we want to bring this home. We want it to be Adams County. We want it to be Quincy, and then I will cover the 20 counties one way or the other. We'll be representing attorneys. I mean, I've talked to several attorneys who are trying to retire, and there's no one to replace them. They've had associates, they've lost them. You know, in some of the small towns just around here, whether it's Rushville or Pittsville, you know, attorneys all over the place, even my own firm, we've had trouble. You have trouble hiring them and then retaining them. And, you know, Quincy's got such a great quality of life. Downstate firms have a great quality of life. As you mentioned earlier, the cost of living is so much less. And with the transportation and all the technology in place, you can do the big city things, just not live there. And so, and there is most downstate firms have a family atmosphere, quality of life. So there's so much that to offer. We just have to get the word out. And I'm thinking that that's something I want to give back to the legal profession and to the Illinois State Bar Association, my fellow attorneys, by trying to tackle these problems. I think we can do a lot for downstate attorneys. We have to get the word out.
You talked a little bit about, you know, and I'm frankly shocked. I mean, being an outsider, I would think that a reputable firm like you are with, Schmiedes Camp, would have no problem attracting attorneys. But like you said, it's not just that. It's getting them to come and live in Quincy. And once they live here, I think, you know, a lot of them will like it. And in fact, one of the ones you recently lost just moved to Hannibal. So it's, you know, they like the rural area. But let's talk a little bit, too, because the practice you do is like real estate and, you know, things like that. But where we in the news media get, you know, our attention on the lawyers is the criminal and defense lawyers. We have such a problem in our public defender's office here. I can only imagine it's really rampant in even smaller communities. And this is, again, an area where you want to advocate to try to get more people to come into this profession, whether it be a public defender or a state prosecuting attorney, to get hired in these rural firms. What is it going to take? I mean, how can you convince those people sitting up there in Chicago, those law students, that, you know, the shiny high-rise office firm is not what they may want if they've never even seen, you know, what's available in Rushville, in Pittsfield, in Quincy, in Mount Sterling?
Well, as my senior partner, Adele Mitchell, mentioned just recently, half the battle is having these people interview down here in our offices, and they can see it, they can feel it. You walk into our office, you can feel the synergy. We have a family-type atmosphere. People, it really is, it's a great place to work, and there's so many firms like ours in Central Illinois. But you need to have those people make the trip and come down and see us. Not just, you wouldn't get the same effect through a Teams or a Zoom phone call or a meeting. And if we can get them to come to our office, show them around town, introduce them to some people, you know, and show them the quality of practice we have. I mean, my firm represents companies that do work internationally. Most of the work I do is outside of Quincy and outside of Illinois. I mean, so you're not small time just because you're in a small town. Or you can do the small town stuff. There's nothing wrong with that. There's plenty of great clients, small businesses in town, estate planning clients, all sorts of gratifying work for attorneys. And for me, I tell my friends in Chicago, I can work half a day on a Saturday, go home for lunch, play nine holes, ride horses, cut my grass, all in one day. And all they can do in Chicago is one thing, because it's all about traffic. It's all about geography up there. I think that the Illinois State Bar Association is very gratifying to me. There's some great people in Chicago that I rub elbows with every day. But living down here, is the quality of life is so great. If you can get with a firm down here and do what you love and not be subjected to an hour commute every day or the crime or whatever, is such a plus. I want to try to move the ball forward for downstate lawyers to try to solve the problems that the downstate lawyers have so that we can continue to progress and maintain quality law practices in this state. So there's no better way to do it than through the Illinois Bar Association, and the policy-making body is the Board of Governors, and I would like to take a shot at that, serving on that board and making a difference for downstate lawyers.
One of the things that the city of Quincy did was offer people $5,000 if they would move here to take a job in a certain industry that was needed. Some people have received nursing training, nursing scholarships, to say that they'll practice here in Quincy. Do you foresee something where the state legislature could get even more involved than the programs you already mentioned, where, you know, it's extremely costly to send a kid to law school?
Right.
And you have to be wicked smart to get in, and then you have to have some wicked amount of money,
right,
to sustain that. And there's a lot of kids who are wicked smart and don't have a wicked a lot of money, you
right,
know.
Right.
Is there anything that we could do? Could you see any proposal where the law schools, especially maybe publicly funded ones, more like Illinois rather than a private law school,
right,
could say, hey, we're going to give you a forgivable loan if you practice for 5 years in a desert, in a legal,
yeah,
desert. Or we're going to give you a 10-year, whatever, subsidy of some kind in order for you to be encouraged to practice. They've done this for teachers. They've done this for nurses. Other groups have done this. Do you foresee that maybe something like that could happen?
Yeah, I think that would be an excellent opportunity for the state to actually make a difference in a positive way. And if there are going to be conditions attached where you may have to work for a state agency for a while, or you have to
like
practice
in the public defender's office,
sure,
or something like,
oh,
that.
For sure, yeah. Or even a private firm if the conditions are set out so that the state gets a bang for its buck. I think that's an excellent idea. I don't know this, but I suspect the Illinois State Bar Association has been talking to the state legislature. I don't know of any existing proposals, but there may be, and that would be something that I would certainly be in favor of pursuing. It's something else. There's so much that can be done with this organization, and there's been a lot of good people involved in the state bar. There's been so many good things for the lawyers in this community and in the state, but I think we can do a lot more. I go to these meetings, you know, for this real estate committee of attorneys, 30, 35, 40 attorneys, and I'm like the only one from downstate on the committee. And everyone else complains about taking 30 minutes or an hour to get to the meetings downtown. It's a day and a half for me.
Yeah.
And I go up to these meetings, and I just laugh when they complain. Stuck in traffic, it took me 45 minutes to get here. I'm like, try 5.5, you know.
Yeah, and that's not even traffic. That's just getting to the outskirts, yeah.
But there's a
disconnect there between there really, and there always has been. When we talk about politics in Illinois, it's not so much Democrat and Republican. It's Chicago and downstate.
Oh,
it's
yeah.
always been that. And even if you are, you know, when you're elected, you'll be this voice, this one voice crying in the wilderness, but you're respected. So if you can get other people to listen to yeah. that voice, maybe they'll see that this is better for the law profession overall. Because we're going to take a real quick break. But when we come back, I want to ask you why there are so few lawyers. Because it used to be we had too many lawyers. The joke was, don't go to law school. Where are you going to get a job? Things always are cyclical, and now it seems like we have this paucity of lawyers. So we'll talk about why that happened. And again, you know, that's not a ship, you know, when you see the iceberg that there's not enough lawyers, you got to start turning that Titanic quick. Yeah. And it's going to take a while for this problem to be solved. We'll take a break. We'll be right back. It is 9:41, and we're heading up to the Missouri Cattle Commission. They're going to tell us all about their sale, and then we're going to hear from the URSA Farmers Cooperative. Stay tuned. We're back, Talk Radio 930 WTAD. My guest today is Ted Neiman. For 40 years, he has been with Schmiedes Camp, Robertson New, and Mitchell. And he's not ready to retire or anything, but he wants to take on a new job, and that is to be the Area 6th Board of Governors representative to the Illinois State Bar Association, covering the 7th, 8th, and 9th Judicial Circuits. This is a big geographic area, typical of downstate Illinois. We have very few people down here to represent, but our voice needs to be heard. If Ted Neiman is elected, he will be the first person in 50 years to be a lawyer from Quincy to be on the board of directors. Now, he's served many capacities with the Illinois State Bar Association. One thing that fascinates me about attorneys is, and I found this out when I started being a news reporter, because we both have a kind of a similar thing. You're trying to keep people level by making sure the underdog gets their due, make sure everything's fair, and the news reporters are trying to make sure that both sides are accurately reported so people can make a decision. But a judge can just say, hey, we don't have an attorney to represent this guy. Neiman, you're up. Has that ever happened to you, Ted Neiman? That's not, you know, prosecution and that kind of thing is not your deal, or defense attorney is not really your deal, a real estate guy. Have you ever been called upon to say, we got to have somebody, Ted Neiman. It's you that's going to be appointed to do this at much less than you're making in your private practice, I'm sure.
Yes and yes. It's been probably over 30 years, but as a young lawyer, I was appointed to represent two criminals. One was a criminal that had come out of prison, was fencing stolen goods out from churches. You probably reported on it way back when. It's probably at least 30, 35 years ago. And I was appointed because they didn't have enough public defenders to go around. It was a gang of people that would steal from churches and then sell the stolen goods. And as a matter of fact, I even told the judge at the time, he was in prison for somebody he murdered that I used to play softball against. And he said to me, you can do it. I know that you won't be prejudiced. And I wasn't. Didn't want to particularly do it. It was for $40 an hour, And it was, I had the guy's life in my hands. I mean, he's being prosecuted for, he could have gotten 60 years. And so I was in doing criminal work. And another time up near Lorain, there was a big gang fight with kids, and they ran out of public defenders, and I was appointed to that job as well. So I had to learn on the job, because I wasn't a criminal defense attorney. I had to talk to other criminal defense attorneys, and we negotiated pleas on both of them. Not something I was looking to do. The only background I had in that was law school, criminal procedure, and criminal substantive law, and so I was required to do that. You don't normally tell a judge no.
I you can't really tell him no, can you? You really can't. No. It's a weird profession. You can be forced to work against your will. Yeah. But in a sense, that is because the legal profession is the only defense the average American has. Like, if I am accused of a crime, I know that I will get a legal defense. I'll either have to pay for it myself, or I can have a court appointed. Right. But I'm entitled to somebody to represent me. And, you know, the outcome of that might be that I get a lowered prison sentence. I may be set free. I mean, my fear has always been, what if I'm truly not guilty of something? When I lived alone, I used to always say, how could I prove? I have no alibi for anything. You know, from the minute I leave work on a Friday until Monday morning, you know, where were your whereabouts? You know, and just when you report as much crime as I do, you start thinking about, how would I go about proving, you know, that I wasn't connected to this in any way? And so you use those skills, the same skills you use in real estate or in commercial transactions. You're basically saying, look, what's the best outcome for my client? Because I want to make sure they get the most out of the justice system. It's the prosecution's power to prove them guilty. You have to prove to be guilty. You're not just assumed guilty. And that is difficult.
Right. Well, and the part that's never mentioned, but lawyers know this, obviously, experience that you have as far as prosecuting or defending in that situation would matter a lot. But also, it's who's representing the person. If an attorney has credibility with the state's attorney's office, the public defender's office, with the judge, that's where it starts. Most of the work, whether it's a real estate transaction or whether it's criminal prosecution, is done behind the scenes, in and out of court. Sometimes there's motions that go before the judge, but the whole pathway, if you will, is shaped by pretrial activities. And so if the judge and the other attorney respect the attorney that is representing the client, that goes a long way. And so whether or not you're well-versed in criminal law or not, if they respect your law firm, they respect you, that's where it starts. And then you start talking to the other people about what's realistic in this case, and you try to shape an outcome short of a trial, because once it gets to trial, especially a jury trial, everybody loses a certain amount of control. So you try to settle it, whether it's a civil case or whether it's a criminal case, as best you can. It's everybody's best interest if you can come together, because you can shape the outcome. Once it goes to trial, and if you get a decision you don't like, you can appeal it, and appeal it to the Supreme Court. Expensive. You also lose control there. Not the best option if you can avoid it, but there is, you know, to serve justice, there is the appellate level and there's the Supreme Court level. So there's definitely outlets for you to be able to keep litigating until you feel you get the outcome that you want. No guarantee, but so a lot of it has to do not only with your experience and your work ethic, but also the reputation that you have when you're dealing with somebody. The first thing I do when I talk to any attorney in any situation, if I don't know them, I want to know what the background is. I want to know if I can trust them. I want to know if they're good. You know, I want to know if they're an expert in the field or not, because that will then set the stage in how, what kind of an outcome I can expect.
Is the justice system fair? Because someone like myself, I mean, I don't have a lot of means, but if I was really in big trouble for something, frankly, even if I did it, you know, I'd be like, damn, I got to get a good attorney. Right. I don't want, you know, the electric chair. Can't get that in Illinois. But, you know, is it really fair? Because isn't it really the best representation goes to those who can pay the most? I don't know that we'll ever solve that problem. Ted Nieman certainly isn't going to solve that problem. But is there a certain unfairness to our justice system?
Well, it's kind of a, there's there's two ways to look at that. First of all, I believe the system they have is based upon the English system with jury trials and bench trials and having jurors of your peers selected with people that are going to be impartial, and through the jury selection process you try to guarantee that as much as possible. Doesn't always work, but is a very fair system. So the structure is good. The structure is fair, and it's rooted in the Constitution, both Illinois and federal. But you're right. They're also, like any other profession, there are very good attorneys and attorneys that are not very good. And so if you don't have the money to get the best, that can certainly affect the outcome. So you're right about that. And I don't know if there's any way to solve it other than the fact that if your attorney didn't do a good job at the trial level, you before you get to the trial, you switch attorneys. Or if you get a bad outcome at a trial level, you then hire another attorney to appeal it. Is it expensive? Yes. And one of the things that I am preaching on in the seminar I'm giving in 2 weeks in Chicago is on remedies, civil remedies, dealing with real estate contracts. And one of the big deals is you have an attorney's fees provision in the contract, which gives you leverage when you're negotiating or if things go bad and you file a suit. Because most of the time in transactions, you don't get the attorney's fees. You may win $1 million case, but you may spend $50,000 prosecuting it, and you got to pay that. So that often dissuades people from pursuing their legal remedies. So there, at least, if you have an attorney's provision in your contract and the other party breaches, you've got that for leverage. I'm going to file suit. I'm going to get my attorney's fees. If you don't have that, you lose leverage in negotiating, and then if you eventually file suit. So that helps to a certain extent. There are also statutes that provide attorney's fees, like the one that's most often used by consumers, the Illinois Consumer Fraud and Deceptive Practices Act, which if you would win an action there, that statute awards attorney's fees. But bottom line is, you're right. If you hire an attorney that's not the greatest, that could definitely affect the outcome, or one that the judge or the other attorney doesn't trust. Most attorneys are very good, very trustworthy, very hardworking. So it's the bad apples that they get all the notoriety, right? And so that gives attorneys a bad name. But in reality, most are by far and away very ethical, very hardworking, and really, really work for their clients. But that definitely can affect the outcome. So you need to select your attorney carefully. Best way to do it is to call someone you trust or another attorney, even if that attorney doesn't do that type of thing, and get a referral. That's the way you try to cut through that, because if they say, don't hire that person doesn't do that very well, hire this person. So word of mouth referral is still your absolute best way. Just like hiring it when you're going to go to a doctor, usually check it out and try to find out someone.
Find out
that's
if your
good.
Friends had a bad thing. Real quick, and I only need a 1 minute answer because this is, I'm just throwing this at you out there, but you're a lawyer. So, you know, O.J. Simpson's dead. He never paid the Goldman family, even though that was an award. And now his estate says, you'll never get a dime from us. How does that happen? How does a judge say you have to pay the Goldman family so many millions of dollars? The guy lives on for 20 years. Now he dies. And they still say, no, we're never paying that.
Well, I don't know the details of that, but I did follow that trial when it went on. And I have all sorts of comments about how that was mishandled. But I think you're talking about the civil suit.
Yeah,
and you can get a judgment against a person for $1 million, and it's on the books. Then it's a matter of collecting it, which is something that I do. And collecting it, you then have to find some assets that are not encumbered. So if you file a judgment lien based on the judgment against real estate, if there's $1 million mortgage ahead of it, good luck, right?
Yeah.
Or you can haul the person into court under oath in front of the judge and say, tell me about all the assets you have. And so they may lie, and then you have to find other means. So you have to find assets that are not subject to liens. And if somebody has got zero assets, you know, debtor's prison went out the window back in the late 1700s, I believe. So you have the judge order that they pay something, but the judge won't unless they know there's a source. So he must have had his assets tied up where they were forced to take him back into court. What do you have that's not mortgaged now, right? Well, he probably got rid of his assets.
Yeah, he was smart.
Yeah.
He was smart.
So that's the answer.
Okay, then the last question of the day, because we talked about it earlier this morning, and I want you, I'm not going to give you a retainer, you're just going to have to do it pro bono. I want you to be in charge of my great idea, which is elephants are very difficult to ride because their gait is very lumbering and you roll around a lot. But a Tennessee walking horse is a beautiful, smooth ride. You know about horses. Can you be in charge legally of my Tennessee walking horse elephant interbreeding program to create a new species that will be giant like an elephant, but with a smooth ride of a Tennessee walking horse?
Well, it sounds like I would need that. I wouldn't do that on a contingency. Have to be hourly.
You're going to have to get money is what you're saying, right?
I think so.
Okay. See, there again, my brilliant idea, but because I cannot hire a good attorney like Ted Neiman, I am thwarted at every turn. I'm going to work on the Tennessee Walking Horse Elephant Cross. Ted Neiman, how can your peers, not the general public, but how can your peers vote for you for this very important Board of Governors job with the Illinois State Bar Association?
Well, if you've not received a notice in the mail or email from the Illinois State Bar Association and you're an Illinois State Bar Association member, contact by calling or emailing the Illinois State Bar Association. They have offices in Springfield, Illinois, and also in Chicago. And if you have your ISBA membership number, you can go to their website, plug that in. There's an election section, and it will tell you who you're eligible to vote for, which would include myself in our voting district. Plug in your number, and the ballot will appear. All you have to do is click a button, and you're done. Or you can mail in a ballot. Voting ends April 30th.
So it's been open for a while, and it ends April 30th. So,
yep.
You know, hopefully your campaign, it's an unusual campaign. You're campaigning to a very select group of people, but we're fighting for downstate Illinois to have representation. So if you know any attorneys, tell them, hey, Ted Neiman's our guy, and he wants to represent us, and he'll do a good job. Thank you so very much, Ted Neiman,
Thank
for
you,
being
Mary.
My guest today.
Thank you.
We'll be back to do it tomorrow with Chuck and Jack.